You dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
The Rough Melville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Melville.
Well, I'm here.
These things work better when they're plugged in. Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Friday, April 9th, 2021, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. It also has to be the anniversary of Appomattox, the surrender of the seditious terrorist insurgency that fought the United States Army in the service of keeping chattel slavery legal. And we beat them. They surrendered on April 9th, 1865. So that's an anniversary that we're celebrating today. Also, another thing that we're celebrating is congratulations to the states of Virginia and New Mexico for joining us in the ranks of the legal marijuana states. Yes, the legal marijuana states. There are 18 of them now, plus D.C. Actually, the New Mexico one won't go into effect until Monday. The signing ceremony should be happening on Monday, but you may be listening to this later next week. So congratulations to New Mexico. And Virginia's, while it has gone into effect, I mean, it's passed, but it doesn't go into effect until July 1st of 2021. So we've got a ways to wait on that, but congrats to them. We're also got some news on Idaho passing some bills. We'll cover that. And of course, the sad news about DMX to cover. And an hour two, we've got news from all across the United States. And speaking of that, you know how we start these things off on a Friday by catching you up with all of the cannabis headline news from the prior week.
This is your cannabis headline news, brought to you every weekday by Radical Russ Radio at RadicalRuss.com, your 24-hour source for marijuana music and cannabis conversations. Subscribe today for just $4.20 at patreon.com/radicalruss. With your cannabis headline news for the week ending Friday, April 9th, 2021, I'm Russ Belville. The Virginia House of Delegates and Senate have both accepted the governor's amendment to their respective versions of legislation to legalize marijuana in the state, including a revision that will push up the timeline to allow adults to possess and cultivate cannabis for personal use this summer instead of in 2024. In addition to possession, home cultivation will also be allowed starting in July. Plants would have to be labeled with identification information, out of sight of public view, and out of range of individuals under the age of 21. The governor also asked the legislature to adopt an amendment to expedite automatic expungements for people with prior marijuana convictions, and they accepted that request. Additionally, his substitute bill calls for immediate funding of a public education campaign on the health and safety risks of marijuana, as well as money for law enforcement training to train officers to recognize and prevent drug driving. New Mexico isn't wasting any time setting up its adult-use marijuana market, with regulators launching a website to provide information about the state's impending new cannabis policy before the governor has even signed a legalization bill into law. Lawmakers sent legislation to establish a recreational marijuana market to Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham last week during a special session that she had convened. Under the proposal, retail sales wouldn't start until April 2022, but the State Regulation and Licensing Department is getting a head start, providing information to consumers and businesses. The new website features a timeline for when the Cannabis Control Division would have to create an advisory board, when business licenses would begin to be issued, and when the retail market is expected to launch. It also provides an overview of the fees associated with various license types. Finally, there's a page for important terms that define components of the legalization legislation. With the passage of HB2 in the 2021 special session, enactment of the Cannabis Regulation Act is effective June 29, 2021, upon the signature of Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham, the website states. The New York Police Department on Thursday sent a memo to officers updating them on new policies for marijuana after the governor signed a legalization bill into law this week. Among other changes, police can no longer arrest adults 21 and older for simply using marijuana in places where smoking tobacco is permitted, and that includes on sidewalks, on front stoops, and other public places, the document states. As a result, smoking marijuana in any of these locations is not a basis for an approach, stop, summons, arrest, or search. As prescribed under the law, adults can now possess up to 3 ounces of cannabis and also gift marijuana to other adults, so long as no compensation is exchanged, NYPD said. Home cultivation will eventually be legal as well, but not until regulators issue rules allowing it. The department clarified that nobody, regardless of age, can drive while impaired from cannabis. However, the smell of marijuana alone no longer establishes probable cause of a crime to search a vehicle, whether it's burnt or unburnt. A bill to legalize marijuana in Connecticut that's being backed by the governor was approved by a key committee on Tuesday, but it remains a work in progress, the chairman said. The legislation, which has been amended since its introduction to include a series of new social equity provisions, advanced through the legislature's Judiciary Committee after a 20-16 vote. As revised, the governor's legislation would set aside 40% of eligible cannabis business license types for social equity applicants. To qualify as a social equity applicant, a business must have at least 51% ownership by a person with a cannabis-related arrest or conviction, someone whose immediate family faced such a conviction, who's lived in a disproportionately affected community for five of the past 10 years, or who is a resident of tribal land. The governor of Connecticut on Wednesday said that if lawmakers fail to pass a marijuana legalization bill, he expects voters to decide on the issue via referendum.
Marijuana is sort of interesting to me. When it goes to a vote of the people through some sort of a referendum, it passes overwhelmingly. When it goes through a legislature and a lot of telephone calls are made, it slim or doesn't pass. You know, we're trying to do it through the legislature. Folks are elected to make a decision, and we'll see where it goes. If it doesn't, it'll probably end up in a referendum.
Governor Lamont also recognized the changing laws in the region.
Right down the street in Massachusetts, it's legal. People are driving there. I see Connecticut, like I'm told you would see Connecticut license plates at the dispensary. And pretty soon the same thing in New York. So I think it's time for Connecticut to do this on a very regulated basis. Otherwise, I don't want to also surrender it to the underground market, which is really dangerous.
South Carolina's medical marijuana legalization bill is heading to likely defeat without getting a debate in the state Senate. Despite the discussion being scheduled for Tuesday, opposition to the proposal among lawmakers is becoming increasingly clear, with Senator Greg Hembree from Myrtle Beach announcing he intends to block the debate from even starting. Under Senate rules, one senator has the power to hold up discussions. It would require 3/5 of senators to vote to override the move. It's unclear if enough senators support the divisive bill, but even its supporters contend that it isn't likely. Hembree said he was concerned that medical marijuana has not been approved by the FDA and thought this bill was a gateway effort to legalizing recreational marijuana. If other South Carolina senators move to block a bill to legalize medical marijuana, its sponsor said on Tuesday that he would use his power to stop every other piece of legislation on the chamber's calendar in protest.
And if there are some up on the Senate floor that are still in this reefer madness, drug war mentality, and block and stand in the way of this bill, I will exercise my rights as a senator to respond in kind to every single other bill on this calendar.
The senator's legislation would allow patients with qualifying conditions to possess and purchase up to 2 ounces of cannabis every 2 weeks. During last week's committee hearing, Davis repeatedly made the case that his bill is the most conservative medical cannabis bill in the country. For the initial rollout, regulators would approve 15 licenses for vertically integrated marijuana businesses that would control production, distribution, and sales. More than 100 dispensaries would be licensed to operate under the bill. Cannabis reform is a hot topic in the Texas legislature this week, with lawmakers holding hearings on multiple marijuana decriminalization bills, a proposal to expand the state's medical cannabis program, and another piece of legislation concerning hemp regulations. 5 of the proposals that were heard in the House Criminal Jurisprudence Committee on Tuesday would decriminalize possession of various amounts of marijuana by making it a Class C misdemeanor, which does not carry the threat of jail time. The possession thresholds range from 1 to 4 ounces. 2 bills, HB 99 and HB 441, would further prevent arrests over cannabis possession, which is an important component, as Texas police officers are allowed to place people in jail following arrests for low-level misdemeanors, even if the charge itself doesn't include an incarceration penalty. Only HB 441 would additionally prevent marijuana offenses from being added to a person's criminal record. A Texas House committee on Wednesday approved a bill to significantly expand the state's medical marijuana program. The medical cannabis legislation, HB 1535, unanimously passed the House Public Health Committee in an 11-0 vote. Sponsored by Chairwoman Stephanie Click, the bill would add cancer, chronic pain, and post-traumatic stress disorder, for veterans only, as conditions that could qualify people for the state's limited medical cannabis program. It would further allow the Department of State Health Services to add more qualifying conditions via administrative rulemaking, and it would also raise the THC cap for medical marijuana products from 0.5% to 5%. Finally, the measure would establish institutional review boards that would be tasked with helping to promote research into medical cannabis and review how the program is impacting patients. A Senate-passed bill to legalize medical marijuana in Alabama cleared a key House committee on Wednesday, but not before members also approved a number of amendments to the proposal. The legislation, sponsored by Senator Tim Melson, would allow people with qualifying conditions to access cannabis for therapeutic purposes. The Senate approved the proposal last month, and now the House Judiciary Committee has advanced it in a voice vote. The measure will now head to the House Health Committee before moving to the floor. Amendments approved by the Judiciary Committee include eliminating reciprocity for out-of-state patients, reducing the percentage of marijuana tax revenue that would go to cannabis research from 30 to 15%, and allowing counties and municipalities to hold votes to opt out of allowing marijuana businesses in their areas. Pennsylvania's neighbors are moving to legalize recreational cannabis for adults. A March poll from Franklin and Marshall College showed 59% support among registered voters for legalization. But in order for that to happen, the idea would need to gain backing among Republican lawmakers who control both the State House and Senate. House Speaker Brian Cutler of Lancaster opposed medical cannabis when it passed in 2016 and said in 2019 that legalization wasn't, quote, the right move in helping thousands of Pennsylvanians who are battling drug addiction, end quote. Senate President Pro Tem Jake Corman of Center in 2018 called the idea, quote, reckless and irresponsible, end quote. But the legislature may just be reflecting the concerns of their constituents. A report from Lieutenant Governor John Fetterman's 2019 listening tour of Pennsylvania found that people were concerned about an increase of people driving under the influence, and they were also concerned about cannabis acting as a gateway drug. A group of Florida leaders and lawmakers is hoping there's still time this session to move legislation forward that would expand marijuana use beyond the state's current medical-only program. They're also hoping to stop legislation some worry could shrink the current program. One measure would open the door for adult recreational use, while the other would cap the potency of medical marijuana. But the halfway point of the session has passed, and so far, neither the House nor the Senate version of the legalization bill has been heard in its first committee stop. The other bill would put limits on the THC potency allowed in marijuana intended for medical use. Supporters of the measure say caps are needed to ensure bad actors aren't taking advantage of the state's medical marijuana system. The mayor of Washington, D.C. says local officials are prepared to move forward with implementing a legal system of recreational marijuana sales in the nation's capital just as soon as they can get over the final hurdle of congressional interference. Mayor Muriel Bowser introduced a cannabis commerce bill in February, and members of the district council are now considering that, as well as a separate proposal put forward by Chairman Phil Mendelson last month. In an interview on WAMU's Politics Hour on Friday, Bowser was asked about the competing pieces of legislation.
I mean, I think we're ready from our end. We have a tax and regulate scheme. We've prepared our alcohol and beverage office to be prepared for to implement regulation, and we have to get the hurdle of Congress out of the way.
Monthly marijuana sales exceeded $100 million for the first time in Illinois in March, shattering the previous record. According to the State Department of Financial and Professional Regulation, adults spent over $109 million on recreational cannabis products in March. That's nearly $30 million more than the month prior and $20 million more than the record that was last set in January. While it's not clear why March proved so popular for marijuana, there has been an escalating trend in Illinois since legal sales launched. Even amid the pandemic, the state saw growing cannabis purchases in its market, both from residents and out-of-state visitors. The city of Ontario, Oregon has set a new monthly marijuana sales record for the first time, selling over $10 million in marijuana products in March 2021. The date from the Oregon Liquor Control Commission showed that Malheur County marijuana shops sold over $10.3 million for the month. Within Malheur County, only the city of Ontario allows legal marijuana sales. There are now 8 shops open in this city of roughly 11,000 residents. The city's marijuana sales in the state are second only to the city of Portland. Ontario is the closest legal marijuana destination to Idaho's Treasure Valley, roughly the census's combined statistical area, including Idaho's Ada, Canyon, Gem, Boise, Owyhee, Payette, and Elmore counties, which numbers over 800,000 in population. Idaho is one of the few remaining U.S. states with no legal recognition for the use of cannabis as a medicine, and the only political jurisdiction in North America that criminally bans industrial hemp. More Louisianans are saying they're for the legalization of recreational marijuana use, a survey of registered voters said. The survey, published Monday by JMC Analytics and Polling, said more than two-thirds of responders favored legalizing both medicinal and recreational marijuana in Louisiana. That's up from 54% last year. Despite the strong support for relaxing marijuana laws among most Louisianans, there's one thing in common among most people who are opposed to the notion: age. Poll respondents older than 64 stood out in the survey. Less than a third were for legalizing both recreational and medicinal marijuana use, but 30% were for legalization of medical marijuana alone. In comparison, 93% of 18 to 34-year-olds, 78% of 35 to 54-year-olds, and 65% of 55 to 64-year-olds were for legalizing both recreational and medicinal marijuana use in Louisiana. The Environmental Protection Agency announced this week that it is awarding a Washington state-based company a $100,000 grant to support the development of sustainable bricks made from industrial hemp. Earth Merchant was one of 24 grant recipients under EPA's Small Business Innovation Research Program. The company's hemp-based Ology bricks are seen as durable, lightweight, carbon-negative alternatives to traditional construction bricks made of concrete or other materials. EPA said in a notice that the Hempcrete project will promote energy efficiency and indoor air quality in single-family homes and other architectural applications. The federal agency also added, quote, industrial hemp can be grown without pesticides or chemical fertilizers, requires less water than crops like cotton or corn, and reaches maturity 100 days from planting. Hemp photosynthesizes carbon dioxide with greater efficiency than trees and can be harvested twice per year, doubling the rate of carbon sequestration, end quote. Further, the hemp blocks can, quote, improve health outcomes for residents because they contain components that are antifungal and antimicrobial, reducing the risks of airborne bacteria while also being vapor permeable, end quote. A bill to legalize marijuana in Mexico is one step closer to final passage. The measure passed the Senate last year but was sent back to the body after being approved in revised form by the Chamber of Deputies. Now, on Monday, a key Senate committee advanced the amended legislation toward a final floor vote. The Senate Justice Committee approved the proposal in a 6-5 tally, with two more panels set to take it up in the coming weeks before it goes before the full chamber by the end of the month. The Senate Health and Legislative Studies Committees are the next stops for the bill. Some members of the Justice Committee expressed opposition to components of the legislation, such as a requirement that adults would have to register with the government in order to grow plants for personal use. While legislators were initially given a deadline by the Mexican Supreme Court to legalize marijuana by early 2019, the court has accepted multiple requests for extensions. The latest deadline is set for the end of April. Mexican senators are again considering requesting an extension of a Supreme Court deadline to legalize marijuana after determining that a reform bill moving through the chamber contains multiple inconsistencies and could be unconstitutional. It was 2018 when the court first declared that the country's prohibition on cannabis itself is unconstitutional and ordered lawmakers to enact a policy change. The initial deadline to make that change was October 2019, but for one reason or another, senators have repeatedly asked to push back the timeline, and the court has accepted each request. Senators have pointed out that the bill as it stands is critically internally conflicted on provisions concerning legal possession limits, the definition of hemp, and other issues, and lawmakers themselves could be subject to criminal liability if it went into effect as drafted. Under the proposal, adults 18 and older would be allowed to purchase and possess up to 28 grams of marijuana and cultivate up to 6 plants for personal use. Maine lawmakers have formally introduced a bill to broadly decriminalize possession of all currently illicit drugs, the latest state-based move to comprehensively address ending the drug war. Representative Ann Perry is lead sponsor of the legislation, which would make possession of a controlled substance a civil penalty punishable by a $100 fine without the threat of jail time. If a person is unable to pay the fine, it could be waived if they underwent a health assessment, which could involve a referral to a substance misuse treatment. Additionally, the proposal stipulates that people who seek out medical assistance for the anti-overdose medication naloxone, either for their own benefit or for another person, could not be subject to arrest or prosecution. It's another harm reduction provision that advocates say will mitigate overdose deaths and destigmatize drug use. This has been your Cannabis Headline News for the week ending Friday, April 9th, 2021. I'm Russ Belville. Cannabis Headline News is heard at the top of every hour on Radical Russ Radio, and Friday's news is contained within the free Russ Belville Show live podcast. For daily downloads of Cannabis Headline News podcast to your device every morning, subscribe by becoming a patron of Radical Russ Radio.
We got more news focused on the state of Idaho. We'll tell you all about the new hemp bill that has passed, as well as the bill that's going to restrict initiatives in the state unless it's vetoed by the governor. All that coming up right after we take our union-mandated safety briefing. That's right. Because it's 420 here in the Mountain Time Zone, and you know how we do. Hope everybody is safe and secure where you are, able to enjoy nature's harvest. We'll be right back. Idaho hemp bill, and we'll take a look at DMX and the terrible news today of his passing.
. 420 is coming up soon, but while tokers in most western states are free to celebrate our cannabis holiday, tokers in Idaho will still go to jail. Join the Idaho Citizens Coalition this 420 on the steps of the Idaho Capitol to protest for our rights as cannabis consumers. Kind Idaho will be there with the Idaho Medical Marijuana Act. Come sign the petition and learn how to become a volunteer signature gatherer. Show your support by joining us online on 420 at 11 a.m. Mountain at facebook.com/IdahoCan. You're listening to Radical Russ Radio, your source for marijuana music and cannabis conversation since 2008. Now, as a service to listeners considering the use of pharmaceutical medications that, unlike marijuana, are approved for medical use by the Federal Food and Drug Administration, the Russ Belville Show presents the Big Pharma Ad of the Day.
Opdivo significantly increased the chance of living longer versus chemotherapy. Opdivo works with your immune system. Opdivo can cause your immune system to attack normal organs and tissues in your body and affect how they work.
Wait, hold up. Makes my immune system attack my own organs?
This may happen anytime during or after treatment has ended and may become serious and lead to death.
You don't say.
See your doctor right away if you experience new or worsening cough, chest pain, shortness of breath, diarrhea, severe stomach pain or tenderness, severe nausea or vomiting, extreme fatigue, constipation, excessive thirst or urine, swollen ankles, loss of appetite, rash, itching, headache.
Medical marijuana. Not approved by the FDA, but it's not going to kill your organs either.
Radical Russ here, reminding you that marijuana legalization doesn't just happen. Smart, dedicated activists have put their freedom and future on the line to make it happen. Like the activists at the Minority Cannabis Business Association. Since legalization at the state level began in 2012, the MCBA has been working to ensure that the implementation of legalization is inclusive of minorities and reparative of the damages done to communities of color by the war on drugs. Get involved by visiting minoritycannabis.org. And keep it here on Radical Russ Radio for conversations with leaders from this organization, the best marijuana music, and the latest news about cannabis.
The world of cannabis is evolving at a frenetic pace. The Russ Belville Show gets behind the headlines to take a deeper look at breaking news in our Cannabis Focus.
Well, we're coming to you from America's last absolute prohibition state, the state of Idaho, and we call it that because it's the only state in the nation that still maintains criminal penalties for industrial hemp. But that might be coming to a little bit of a change. The Idaho Senate has passed the hemp bill, HB 126, that has already passed the House, so it heads to the governor's desk for his signature. But the way it's being characterized by the local news, you would think that hemp was being legalized. And folks, I'm here to tell you that Idaho has just passed a hemp bill that still allows cops to arrest people for hemp. Let's get into this behind the headlines on this one. HB 126 does change the definition of industrial hemp, does change a cannabis definition under Idaho law that says industrial hemp or hemp possessed, grown, transported, farmed, produced, processed, or possessed by any other entity engaged in hauling, transporting, delivering, or otherwise moving hemp in interstate or intrastate commerce pursuant to a license granted under the provisions of the 2014 or 2018 Farm Bill or a state-approved plan for the state of Idaho, and industrial hemp is defined as cannabis sativa L in any part of that plant containing THC concentrations of less than 0.3% THC. So it does comport with what is legal federally in the other 49 states with respect to hemp, that it's less than 0.3% THC. That is the definition. But the important part in that statute is to note where it says pursuant to a license. You must have a license for this hemp stuff. So they do change the definition, but it has to be pursuant to a license, either a federal license under the Farm Bill or a state license under a state plan that has yet to be determined. But if you do not have that license, you most specifically can be prosecuted for marijuana under the state of Idaho's laws, even after this hemp bill becomes law. It changes the code to read as follows. Evidence that any plant material or the resin or any derivative thereof, regardless of form, that does not meet the definition of industrial hemp or hemp as provided in this section, or that is possessed without a license, shall, that contains any of the chemical substances classified as tetrahydrocannabinols, shall create a presumption that such material is marijuana as defined and prohibited herein. So again, we got some legalese to parse. What are they saying there? They're saying, well, number one, if you've got something that doesn't meet the industrial hemp definition, something that's above 0.3% THC, it is marijuana and you're going to jail. But then they have the or is possessed without a license. That means that if it's industrial hemp at less than 0.3%, but you don't have your license for it, it's considered marijuana. And this is backed up by the testimony that we heard from the supporters of this bill in the Senate. One of the senators who had said, this strikes the perfect balance between allowing our farmers to grow industrial hemp and maintaining our strict drug policy. Because what the last thing they want to do in the state of Idaho is just to allow any old citizen to be able to possess this less than 0.3% THC hemp. There's a number of problems. Number one, the state police right now use a test that tells you whether or not something has THC in it. And if it does, it's marijuana and you go into jail. That's easy and that's cheap. Once you allow 0.3% THC hemp to be legal, now you can't just say it has THC in it. Now you got to know how much. And to know how much THC is in it takes a more expensive test that takes longer to get. So that creates extra expense and extra hassle, and the cops just don't want to have to go through with that. Then, if you add an activist perspective to this, if you set up a situation where the average person can have 0.3% hemp THC flower, when they can then carry that around and have the cops have to go through the hassle of determining that it's legal for them to have that. Imagine, say, at a 420 rally at like the state capitol steps, if a bunch of people pulled out hemp joints that are less than 0.3%, if they were legal, how would you know whether it was a hemp joint or a real joint? They kind of smell the same. So they absolutely do not want to allow any legality of THC in the state of Idaho. That's what this bill is already about. So the irony of this is that we're creating a hemp legalization that Idaho farmers are going to be allowed to cultivate and process hemp if they grow it for, say, textile or foodstuffs, you know, that they could maybe sell that. But if they grow hemp for CBD flower, which is becoming incredibly popular and profitable, and they want to produce medical CBD oils, they're going to have the added expense of taking the 0.3% THC out of it before they can sell it in Idaho. Or if they're going to export, they're going to have to export it all to other states. And if they were growing a low THC CBD flower for pre-rolled joints, those would have to be exported out of the state of Idaho because they'd still be illegal marijuana for having THC in them. And there's no license for just the average person to be able to have these things. Now, there are stores all throughout Idaho, tobacco stores, convenience stores, all throughout Idaho that are already selling low THC CBD oil and selling hemp CBD pre-rolls that contain the less than 0.3% THC. But don't be think don't be fooled into thinking that just because these stores are selling these things that they're legal. If they contain THC in them and they're in Idaho, they are illegal marijuana right now. And after this hemp bill passes, if they have THC in them and you don't have a hemp license, they are illegal in the state of Idaho. Just because law enforcement has been complacent about not busting these stores doesn't mean they wouldn't be as complacent if they had a good reason to bust you for it. If they thought it might allow them to get a search that allowed them to be able to get involved with what's going on in your life. So as far as the news media out here in the state of Idaho, I've got to send a note out to them to let them know that nothing's really getting legalized here. It's kind of like medical marijuana in a sense. You know how medical marijuana is not really legal. It's just if you're a patient and you got a card, you don't get busted for it. That's what they're doing in Idaho. If you're a farmer and you grow hemp and you got a card or a license, you won't get busted for it. But if you're a farmer and you grow and you don't have a license, or you're a person and you have it and you don't have a license, you're just as busted as a medical marijuana patient who doesn't have a medical marijuana card. At least in the states that still do it that way. All right, let's take a break. I gotta get some liquid, and when we return, talk about DMX.
Hi, I'm Radical Russ Belleville. You know me, I'm from Idaho, where we've got two strains of marijuana, got some and don't. But until I can help legalize marijuana in the Gem State, I can still bring you the best the hemp plant has to offer at Boise Hemp World. Boise Hemp World features the Mama Duck line of CBD tinctures and pain creams and the Billy Dogs line of CBD pet tinctures and dog treats. Hemp World also features CBD candy, gummies, gum, spices, and a whole assortment of tie-dye and hemp clothing and accessories. And under the laws of America's last absolute prohibition state, all Hemp World CBD products are 100% THC-free, so you won't fail any drug screenings. Boise Hemp World, now with two locations, our flagship store at 6928 West State Street in the Glenwood Shopping Center, and our new location at 1720 West State Street in the Albertson Shopping Center. We're also the headquarters for the Idaho Cannabis Coalition's campaign to legalize medical marijuana in 2022. Find us online at BoiseHempWorld.com or call us toll-free at 844-IDA-HEMP and tell them Radical Russ sent you.
You're listening to Radical Russ on the Russ Belleville Show.
In the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Russ Belleville Show presents the anti-drug public service announcement of the day.
Hi, I'm John Bon Jovi, and I've been given a script to talk to you about drugs, rock and roll, having fun, a good time, and all that good stuff. Well, I'll tell you what, drugs is not a part of my everyday routine. It's not everyday fun. It's not good for you. All right, so listen, think twice before you do drugs, because there ain't no winners out there doing it.
This has been the Russ Belleville Show's anti-drug public service announcement of the day, exclusively on RadicalRuss.com.
Radical Russ here for the Idaho Citizens Coalition for Cannabis. Since 2010, the members of the Idaho Citizens Coalition have been fighting to legalize marijuana in America's last absolute prohibition state. We believe Idahoans deserve legal access to the cannabis plant in all of its forms. Find out more about the Idaho Citizens Coalition at IdahoCan.co. That's Idaho, C-A-N-N.co. And find us on Facebook at IdahoCan.
Woo! Y'all gonna make me lose my mind. Up in here, y'all gonna make me go all out. Up in here, y'all gonna make me.
Yeah, the news came across the wires today. This the passing of DMX, the rapper, age 50, is also actor and, you know, very interesting person, but I wanted to bring this up for today's show because of a very poignant clip that I found. Interviews that he had done regarding his struggles with substance abuse. And it's rumored that he had a drug overdose and it caused a heart attack, and that caused him to lose oxygen for 30 minutes and brain death and his passing. And when these celebrity deaths happen, we all often hear about them and the scourge of drugs and drug addiction. And before you know it, the prohibitionists are jumping on the subject and trying to tie marijuana to it. And I know that's probably going to happen here with DMX. So I just thought I would start by playing this clip before they do, and to give perspective and framing on what's going on here before they get the chance to give the perspective and framing on what's going on here. So this is an interview DMX gave and was asked about his first time getting introduced to crack cocaine, and cocaine was his drug of choice as far as his addiction problems. So here's that clip with DMX.
At the end of my life is blessed with the curse. And the curse aspect of it was, like I said, I didn't smoke cigarettes, I didn't smoke weed, I didn't do anything. I'm 14 years old. And me and my man went to a robbery one night, and it was his birthday, and we came back, we split the money. I said, "Hey, you know, take this, go get something, nice for your birthday, whatever." So he came back with a blunt rolled up. And as I'm counting the money, he lights the blunt. And I said, I was impressed. Well, I don't really smoke, nigga, fuck out of it. And he passed the blunt around, and I hit the blunt, and I'm like, I was no longer focused on the money. I never felt like this, like, it just fucked me up. I'm like, the fuck? And I later found out that he laced the blunt with crack. Why would you do that to a child?
Right.
And this nigga, like 30, you know what I'm saying? And he knew how I looked up to him.
Yeah.
He knew how I looked up to him, you know what I'm saying? And like, why would you do that to somebody who looks up to you like this? I mean?
Introduced to crack cocaine surreptitiously at 14 years old by a 30-year-old mentor, a musical mentor of his. And I think it's important for us to understand that marijuana is not the subject in this tragedy. Now, I don't want anyone to confuse this situation that I would be endorsing adults, especially 30, 40, 50-year-old adults, giving blunts, even just regular blunts, to 14-year-olds. Tell you the truth, I'd be a little more upset about the tobacco in that blunt than I would be the cannabis. But if it's not being used for medical purposes, there's no reason for teenagers to be using marijuana to excess. And I'd argue blunts are a little harder than just regular joints because of the tobacco that's involved. But this is a case of abuse. This is a case of irresponsibility, of criminality on the part of that adult. Even if DMX weren't 14 years old at the time, giving someone a drug and lacing it with some other drug without their knowledge is one of the worst things you can do. That is, as far as my ethics and my moral compass go, that's one of the worst crimes you can commit. Especially when we're talking something like crack cocaine with the high addictive potential that it has. I'm not going to shame anyone that uses crack cocaine or regular cocaine or any other drug. The relationship people have with substances and what they choose to do with their own body and their own mind is up to them, so long as they're harming no one else. But it's a shame that because of this child abuse that took place, because of this crime that was committed by an adult against a child, opened the door to a lifelong battle against hard addictive substances, numerous trips to rehab, problems with overdoses, and now finally a death at the age of 50 of a highly talented artist. This is a tragedy, of course. And our opponents, when they get these stories, these drug tragedies, they like to capitalize on them as if prohibiting a drug will make it go away, as if legalizing a drug makes people take it, when neither of those things are true. What we need to do is to continue to regulate drugs, to continue to create legal, safe markets for drugs and legal, safe opportunities for people to use drugs. Drugs can cause harm, no doubt about it. DMX is proof of that. Drugs can cause harm. But the prohibition of them adds harm to the harm they already cause. Obviously, crack cocaine has been legal for the entire span of DMX's life and before. Well, I guess crack really didn't come into till the 80s, but you get my point. Drugs have been illegal for decades in this country, and drug overdoses still happen, and people still take drugs, and markets and drugs still happen. And states are beginning to learn this lesson. We've already seen the first few states that have legalized marijuana that are starting to come around to the legalization of psychedelics for medical purposes and the decriminalization of personally used amounts of drugs for any other purpose, beginning to recognize that the criminal carceral solution causes more problems than the original problem it was built to solve. And that we need to also understand that harm reduction measures are what are going to help in these situations. Giving people the opportunity to know what they're taking. The DMX situation where he's being given the crack cocaine in the blunt happens with people that are thinking they're taking cocaine and getting fentanyl. People that think they're taking MDMA and they're getting meth. These things happen all the time. And it makes it so that people can't make intelligent decisions about their drug use, about what they're taking. We need to give people more information, more purity, standards, testing. And I know that scares people. People get scared to think of a world where people could go and buy drugs and use them. What, are you crazy? And they can say that without even thinking twice about the beer at the convenience store or the hard liquor at the liquor store or the cigars and the tobacco in the smoke shop. We've been having legal drug markets for centuries now. And there are harms associated with those too, but we don't get the additional harms of people shooting it out in the streets between Dos Equis and Corona. We don't get battles over the tobacco fields and who's going to be controlling the tobacco crops.
Marijuana is an addictive drug which produces in its users insanity, criminality, and death. Marijuana is the most violence-causing drug in the history of mankind. If the hideous monster Frankenstein came face-to-face with the monster of marijuana, he dropped dead from fright.
You know, it's not easy countering 7 decades of propaganda in a 2-hour show, but let's try. It's time for the Russ Belville Show's Reefer Madness Debunked.
Well, today in Reefer Madness Debunked, it's like a blast from the past. It's so interesting coming back to Idaho and fighting for the end of adult marijuana prohibition because it's literally stuck 20 to 30 years behind the rest of the West. And no article has done a better job of exemplifying that than one that was posted in the Coeur d'Alene Press recently, an op-ed that was entitled, "Don't Let Legalized Pot Get a Foothold in Idaho." Don't let legalized pot get a foothold in Idaho. Have you been to the Ontario border? Have you been to the border, the Oregon-Idaho border lately? There's already quite a foothold. This article is such a shotgun scattering of every Reefer Madness talking point. Like someone just went and did a whole bunch of copy pasta on this thing. So let's run it down for old time's sake. It's been a long time since we've done one of these Reefer Madness kind of things. And just to give you an idea where the heads are, just to give you an idea where the heads are still in Idaho, let's take a look at this. She starts off by writing, "In every state that is legalized, it started first with legalization of CBD oil, which Idaho was late in doing. Then it moved to legalization of medicinal marijuana, and finally to recreational marijuana. There's a system being used. Nothing is ever achieved without methodology and slippery slopes." Oh, gosh, no, I'm sorry. Legalization of low-THC CBD oil, that didn't happen until Utah in 2014, so none of the legal medical marijuana states before then could have possibly started with the CBD oil, right? Oh, and South Dakota in 2020, they went right from prohibition to legalization in one election without going through medical before that. So there's a few examples where that's not true, but let's get to the real point, right? This slippery slope idea, right? Is there a slippery slope? If you allow CBD, then you got to allow medical, then you got to allow legalization, then you got to legalize all drugs, right? Well, maybe, yeah. Because if there is a natural progression from CBD laws to medical marijuana to legalization, it's only because once people get exposed to some form of legalized cannabis and the sky doesn't fall, the voters in that state are more receptive to further reform. I mean, flip this around. Like, if CBD was so terrible, wouldn't a state learn its lesson and then not pass a medical marijuana law? If medical marijuana were so terrible, wouldn't a state learn its lesson and then reject the legalization proposal? I mean, if legalization were so terrible, wouldn't any of these states have learned its lesson by now and repealed it? She continues, "Proponents of marijuana love to say that cannabis is safer than alcohol. This has long been the popular refrain, but it is statistically and scientifically untrue. There are two main points to demonstrate the false argument comparing alcohol to pot. Alcohol is not addictive." Hold on. I had to say that with a straight face. "Studies have proven marijuana far more addictive. There is a degree of control that can be maintained with alcohol that is not found with marijuana." Yeah, okay. "I can find you a basement full of recovering alcoholics in any church in America that could disagree with you on the addictiveness of alcohol. But anyway, according to the American Addiction Centers, their top five most addictive drugs in order are cocaine, heroin, alcohol, nicotine, methamphetamine. According to a study from 2015 published in the journal Scientific Reports that compared the relative harms of drugs, alcohol, nicotine, cocaine, and heroin fall in the high-risk category. The rest of the compounds except THC fall in the risk category, and cannabis falls in the low-risk category. Now, look, marijuana is not harmless, but it is less harmful because the next thing you get, and you inevitably get these in these prohibitionist talking point screeds, is the harmfulness of marijuana, all the harms it can cause, which even if it caused all these harms, that doesn't argue it should be illegal. But here's just a few, and she cribbed this mostly from the Heritage Foundation, from another article, so there's not a lot of reference to scientific studies or anything. But let's get to it. The claim, number one, marijuana impairs the ability of T cells of the lung's immune system to fight off infections, like we need lower immune systems at this time in our history. Well, at this time in our history, there's actually promising research showing that CBD might be an effective support drug against COVID-19. They argue marijuana impairs short-term memory, making it difficult to learn and retain information. Well, yeah. When you're high, when you're not high, your short-term memory is just fine. It increases the heart rate by 20% to 100%, which increases the risk of heart attack. Well, yeah, so does walking up a flight of stairs or having sex. If your heart's healthy, smoking pot's not going to be a big problem. Cannabis alters moods, resulting in artificial euphoria, calmness, but sometimes turning to anxiety or paranoia.
What? Wait a minute. What is artificial euphoria? Like, you either feel euphoria or you don't, right? Like, artificial seems to be connoting some sort of value judgment here. Look, anxiety and paranoia can happen. I'm not going to lie. But a good remedy for that is to sniff peppercorns. Seriously, you got a little pepper shaker with them grinders. Sniff that. Actually helps the anxiety and the paranoia. And if you feel, you keep feeling this with the marijuana use, switch. Use some strain that's higher in CBD. CBD is an antipsychotic. It helps cut that anxiety feeling. Or just supplement whatever you're using with some CBD oil. Get yourself a CBD tincture and use that along with your cannabis.
Marijuana has toxic properties that can result in birth defects, pain, respiratory system damage, brain damage, and stroke.
Wow. Okay, so look. Toxic properties, really? Come on. The only neonatal condition that's linked to heavy cannabis use by mothers is slightly lower birth weights, which is hardly a birth defect. Cannabis doesn't cause pain. In fact, that's one of the best analgesics for neuropathic pain we've got. Long-term cannabis use can lead to cough or bronchitis, but it does not lead to lung cancer. And far from causing brain damage, cannabis is also found to have many neuroprotective properties.
It causes cognitive degradation. Think early onset dementia.
Come on now. Look, it most certainly does not. Lifelong cannabis smokers like Dr. Carl Sagan, like Willie Nelson, like Tommy Chong, they're still sharp as a tack. They got their cognition. This is just more scaremongering, and it's certainly nothing like early onset dementia.
It has a residual effect on cognitive ability that lasts beyond intoxication because it is stored in organs and fatty tissues for days or even weeks after use. Common sense will tell you that causes greater need and increased side effects.
All right, so this is one you hear quite a bit. They try to use the fact that marijuana metabolites stay in your system for 7 to 30 days to argue that you're being affected by marijuana for 7 to 30 days. Fact is, when you inhale the THC, the THC is the part that gets you high. The getting high is the metabolization of the THC, okay? So the act of being high turns that THC molecule into a different molecule called THC-CU, or carboxy-THC. Carboxy-THC is what gets stored in your fat and your organs and all that and lasts for 7 to 14, 20 days and gets tested for on your workplace drug screen and you turn positive for it. But carboxy-THC is not an active molecule. It doesn't cause a high. You could pump direct, you know, IV solution of THC-CU into your veins and you would not feel a single high. So this idea that it's affecting you days, months after that you've smoked is ridiculous. But they continue.
It results in lower education due to that learning thing.
So this is one of these things that's a stat. It's true, kind of, but it's misleading. Right. What they do is they take a look at all the people who don't smoke pot and they figure out how much education they get, like doctor degrees, master's degrees, all that. Right. Then they take a look at the people who smoke pot and they see what their educational attainment is, doctor degrees, master's degrees, all that. Right. And they find out that the people who smoke pot have fewer doctorates and fewer master's degrees and overall didn't go as far in school. And they say, aha, see, pot makes you stupid. You don't get as far in school. But that's not what's happening. See, when you smoke pot and you get caught, you get a criminal record. You get caught at school, you get kicked out of school. You end up losing your scholarship. You end up losing your student housing. You end up losing a grant. If you were working for school, you end up losing a job. Those are the things that cause you to drop out and to not fulfill your educational destiny. It's that marijuana was illegal, not that marijuana affected your learning. And oh, here's another oldie but goodie. Let me give you this one. Advocates for marijuana also love to say that marijuana smoke is not as harmful as cigarettes, when the exact opposite is true. Smoking 3 marijuana joints is as bad for your lungs as 1 pack of cigarettes. Well, let's just also consider that most people don't smoke 3 joints a day. I do, but most people don't. Most people smoke a half a joint or a joint a day, right? So there's a lot of pack-a-day smokers, so it's not quite the... But even so, like I said, there's no link between marijuana smoking and lung cancer. Largest study ever done on this. One of the leading pulmonologists in America went in looking for a link. Went in thinking, oh yeah, for sure, I'm going to find a link, because obviously these people smoking pot, it's got to cause cancer. No, did not find it. In fact, he found some evidence of a protective effect. He found that in some cases, the pot smokers had less cancer than the non-smokers. Yeah, that kind of messed up the whole prohibitionist idea on that study. But they still think they can fool us by bringing up tobacco smoke. Here's another one. Marijuana smoke contains higher levels of toxic substances like ammonia and hydrogen cyanide than tobacco smoke. Yeah, okay. But marijuana smoke also contains a whole bunch of chemicals called cannabinoids that tobacco smoke lacks. Chemistry matters, people. I mean, think of it this way. Look, hydrogen is a flammable gas. Oxygen is something you breathe. But you combine 2 hydrogens and 1 oxygen and you get water, something you can't burn and something you can't breathe. Chemistry matters. Oh, and then this one. Oh, my goodness. It's so good to see your face again.
Proponents love to point to the revenue that will come into the state upon legalization, but that simply isn't true. As examples, when Colorado legalized, taxpayers found that for every dollar taxed, approximately $4.50 was spent to deal with the problems that came with legalization. Healthcare and education were the highest costs.
We've already gone over this one before in a Reefer Madness Debunk. This is the famous Centennial Institute quote-unquote study that pretends there were no costs for marijuana smoking before Colorado legalized. And then they attribute fantastical costs like calculating the lifetime income lost by pot smokers as an annual cost, or calculating the cost of a hospital admission from a pot smoker's skiing accident. And they then assign all that to marijuana legalization. It's absolute bunk, and every reputable source that has looked at this has laughed it out of the room. They continue,
and Washington State has noted that the black market actually increased with legalization, creating all kinds of additional problems, financial and social.
Well, folks, how would that even be possible? Because before legalization, there was a black market that supplied 100% of all Washington's marijuana. And then after legalization, the legal market took some of it. I mean, whatever it is, X percent. So for the original black market to get bigger, it would have to replace the X percent that it lost to the legal market and then grow beyond that. And we know what the legal market is. Legal market is about $7.7 billion since June of 2014. So the University of Washington has even said that cannabis use has increased and substantially shifted from the illicit market since retail sales began in 2014. They just can't believe legalization works. Despite all the stats we show, every claim that they ever made, every scare, oh my God, the children are going to use more, they didn't. Oh my God, the roads are going to be filled with DUIs, they aren't. Oh my God, it's never going to make the tax money it said. It did. It made even more. It's going to create more crime. It didn't. The only thing that happened is more people in America that are adults that want to smoke pot are doing so. For everyone here in America's last absolute prohibition state, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
You take a seat, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.